Hi, Women of Strength. Before we jump into today's episode, I just wanted to share something that's really close to my heart. If you're planning a VBAC or even just starting to think about one, you don't have to piece everything together on your own. You don't have to find every blog or hunt down a specific podcast episode. The VBAC Link Parent Prep Course was created by our founders, Julie and Megan, who are doulas and VBAC moms themselves. I actually took it when I was preparing for my own VBAC, long before I was a host of the podcast, just as a mom who needed clarity, confidence, and evidence-based information. So I can say, from a personal standpoint, that I know you'll love it. We also have a VBAC birth plan guidebook with a drag and drop template, and that's the exact template I used for my own VBAC birth. It made communicating with my care team so much more smooth. So if you're looking for practical, supportive VBAC prep from people who truly get it, you can find both the course and the guidebook at thevbaclink.com. All right, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, Women of Strength. Welcome back to the VBAC Link podcast. I am your host, Lily, and I am joined today by the as amazing as always, Paige, as my co-host. She's here as well. Hi, Paige.
Hello, hello.
And friends, we are so excited for today's story. I need to come up, I was thinking, with a word other than excited, because every single episode I think I say, I'm so excited because truly, truly, truly hearing everyone's stories just brings so much joy to my heart. And there are just so many twists and turns. We've actually already recorded. Now we're coming back to record the intro. And I mean, Tatiana's story is just, Paige and I had our jaws literally on the floor at some point. So this is one that you do not want to miss. The word hotel will be involved at some point. You don't want to miss this. So Paige, before we get into it, how's your life? How are you?
We're good. Hello from Vietnam. I'm on a trip. I am not in Korea today. So that's kind of fun. On a girl's trip.
Yeah, super fun.
My husband is home watching all four boys. So do we have Tilly in the background?
I have a creepy crawly little 3.5-year-old who just opened the door and was staring at me. He has now been whisked away by his dad. So this is real life mothering. Paige can see my eyeballs like looking across the screen, like what's happening
going on over there?
And he usually doesn't come out of his room. So I was a little confused as to where he came from. You ever have those moments as a mom where your kid is staring at you and you're just like, oh my God, I didn't know you were there. Had a couple of those. It's like in the middle of the night, just like you're being breathed on. They're like, and you like
the shadow creeping over. Yeah, yeah. It's actually terrifying. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're in Vietnam. Y'all, Paige is about to go get her third massage here in moments. So we'll let her.
It was just a few days. I think we're here for a total of 3 days. But Vietnam is so beautiful, so cheap. We're on an island called Phu Quoc, which is actually closer to Cambodia. So if we have any listeners in the Cambodia, Vietnam area, hello, shout out to you. But anyway, yes, Tatiana's story was so amazing. And especially for those who are worried about traveling, for a provider, the logistics of taking care of your other kids. What I loved about her is that she said yes to hard things and intensity. We want to shy away from things that are uncomfortable, but she finds comfort in the discomfort. She says yes to traveling multiple hours, bringing all her kids with her, booking an Airbnb hotel, like you're saying, Lily, the logistics of like, do I book it for weeks? Do I book it last minute? So she talks about the finances and the details behind that, how to find a midwife, how to work around the loopholes of having an out-of-hospital be back after 2 C-sections. So do not miss it.
And I think so often we get messages of, you know, how far is too far to travel? Or there's nothing near me, so what do I do? Am I just stuck? You know, some people feel like they're just stuck to show up to a hospital in labor and hope that it goes well, which we've definitely heard those stories too. But Tatiana took a different route, and I'm just really thrilled for her to be able to share her story. And this is actually the second time she's been on the podcast, which I feel like is really cool and full circle. She was on the podcast in 2020 with our amazing co-founders, Julie and Megan, and then has since now been on with us in a little 2.0 escapade. So before we get into her story, Paige has a review of the week. And then we will be back with Tatiana.
I do. This review was left just 5 days ago. So it's coming at you hot on Apple Podcasts from Mel McPhee. And it says, I had a truly unnecessary emergency C-section with my second and I was totally crushed. I remember lying on the operating table thinking that I was annoyed because I knew I wanted more babies and a VBAC sounded like it was going to be hard work. Well, it was hard work and I couldn't have done it without the encouragement of the VBAC link. My entire pregnancy, I would go on Saturday walks alone for however long that week's episode was. I got my VBAC full term at home after preterm labor and C-section. So much love to all the women who share and the VBAC link. Oh my gosh, we love reviews so much. We love reviews just like that one. And if you want your review read here on the podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcast, Spotify. You can leave us a Facebook review, Google. I hope.
I've been trying to get Google back. So try Googling us. And if we have a Google profile, you can leave it there.
Perfect. You can DM us. But if you leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, it does help people find our podcast, which is what we hope. We hope to bring these stories, which, oh my gosh, are incredible, to as many people as we can. So
yes. So
leave us a review.
Leave them. We love hearing from you. And without further ado, let's get into the intro and then we'll be back with Tatiana.
Hi, I'm Lily.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast.
We're moms and doulas who know firsthand that birth after cesarean isn't always straightforward. I'm a miscarriage and ectopic mom who went on to have a hospital water birth VBAC.
And I've had two C-BACs and a planned maternal assisted cesarean.
Our experiences may be different, but our mission is the same: to make birth after cesarean better.
On this podcast, you'll hear powerful stories of VBACs, repeat cesareans, and C-BACs from women around the world.
We'll also bring in expert insight, practical tools, and encouragement to help you feel informed and supported as you plan your next birth.
Whether you're preparing for a VBAC, choosing a repeat cesarean, or simply exploring your options, this space is for you.
Because every story matters, and we're here to remind you that you've got options, you've got support, and you're never alone.
The VBAC Link is storytelling by nature. The stories on this podcast do not represent a universally best or safest option for everyone.
This podcast is intended to encourage and inform. It does not replace individualized advice from a qualified medical provider.
Women of Strength, welcome back. We are so excited for you to hear Tatiana's story. And before we dive in, I just want to read a little bit about her, and then we will get into her story today. All righty. So Tatiana is a 30-year-old homeschooling mom of four adventurous boys. You and Paige are twins with your boy mom life.
Yay.
She is passionate about all things birth, especially VBAC related, and has had the honor of being a doula for many friends and family members. When it's not school time, you can find her family on bike rides, at the baseball field, working on her small homestead, or cheering on NASCAR. She loves embracing the beautifully loud, wild journey of boy mom life and the community that it creates. So we are so excited to hear your story. And friends, this is a special one because Tatiana was on the VBAC Link before Paige and I existed in the VBAC Link world. I hadn't even had babies yet. It was not even on my radar. Paige just said that she listened to your episode, Tatiana, when she was preparing for her VBA2C, which is
proof.
So cool. She has video proof if you're watching.
On my Spotify, it says checked, finished. I listened.
So she's back. She done did it. So if you're looking for that episode, Paige, can you tell me on Spotify, is it episode 107 on there too?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
107.
So it's episode 107. I think in the episode itself, they say 84. So that was back in like 2020. So if you're looking to hear more of her story, you can listen to those. But we'll hand the floor over to you, sweet friend. And we're so excited to hear your second VBA2C story.
Thank you. I was so excited when I opened up the email and saw that I was going to get to have the opportunity to come back on and share my story. My births have been kind of a wild ride, and I feel like I've kind of dipped my toes into every experience you could possibly have. So just really quick, my first birth, I was 19 years old when I was pregnant. My husband and I got married when I was 18. And so, you know, 19, I was just like, you know, the doctors have best things in mind for me and I'll just go along with everything they say. That led to a long road of interventions, a 39-week induction that was truly unnecessary, and an unplanned C-section. So that changed my entire outlook on birth, and I started researching and wanted to just change my experience for next time. So I went for a home birth with my second and ended up having a 51-hour labor. It was super exhausting. I know, Lily, you know all about long labors. And so with that, we ended up transferring to the hospital because I was stalled out at 8 centimeters. To make a very long story short, I ended up with a repeat C-section because he was asynclitic. So that was kind of devastating. I was, you know, I had this whole different birth and vision and didn't happen. But it was still a better C-section than what my first one was because I felt like I was in the driving seat of making the decisions. So with my third, I was like, hey, you know, we didn't have any medical reasons why we couldn't have a home birth. So let's give it another go. Why not? So I live in Maryland and Maryland has very, very, very strong restrictions for midwives and home birth care. So because I had had 2 C-sections, I was no longer a candidate for home birth in Maryland. So I started looking outside of the state because I wasn't willing to just give up on that just because of where I lived. So I found a midwife who was 2 hours away from me and we started going to her. Absolutely fell in love with her. She was the best thing that could have ever happened to that pregnancy. Fast forward to I had prodromal labor for 3 weeks, which was exhausting, and ended up going into labor, had another long labor. All in all, it ended up being 54 hours start to finish. And we ended up transferring to the hospital again. But when we transferred to the hospital, the OB on call was like, hey, I think you can still have your VBAC if you want it. And I was ready to just be like, give me a C-section, I'm done. But when the OB told me that, I was like, all right, let's go for it. So ended up laboring and I had my successful VBA 2C. So that was super exciting. And we were just like, you know, definitely not what I had expected, but still so empowering and so like such an amazing experience.
You're not giving me a lot of hope that my third baby is going to be a shorter labor. So I'll learn from you again on this one.
Just wait for this story, okay? No. It gets better. So come now. But it was 5 years later. I am pregnant again. And so I'm like, you know what? Third time's the charm for trying to have a home birth, right? So let's do it again. Let's see if we can. Now I've had a successful vaginal delivery. And I know, like everybody says, that can make things go easier and your body knows what to do now. So went with the same midwife because she was fantastic out in Virginia. And we drove 2 hours to every single appointment. And it was 2 hours there and 2 hours back. But it was so worth it because I knew that I had somebody who not only believed in me, but also who I could trust, that if I knew that things kind of went, if anything arose, that she was going to be honest with me and tell me like what I really needed to hear. So with all that said, we'll jump into the actual birth story. So like I said, I had prodromal labor with my third baby and it lasted for 3 weeks, which led to 2 false labor calls, like going up to Virginia, the whole thing, and being like, sorry, after I called my midwife, having to send her home because it wasn't the real thing. And that can just be, it can make you doubt yourself so much. And so I was super nervous about this time because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to doubt myself and not know when labor's really happening. So this past year, I took over part of the leadership of the homeschool co-op that we're in. And we had our open house for new members scheduled on March 20th. So that night, everybody kept joking. They're like, while you're up there, your water's going to break. I was like 38 weeks and 6 days. And I had started having prodromal labor right at the 36-week mark. So I was like, I know what this is. Like, it would start every single night. And then a few hours later, it would fizzle out and be gone. So while I was up there talking, my water didn't break. But I started feeling like super nauseous. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I do not feel great. And then we went to get dinner afterwards and I just had no appetite. I had some contractions that night, but they stopped just like they had every other night. So I was like, whatever. So I woke up the next morning and I started having some contractions and I was like, okay, this is different because I had never had them in the morning time. So I just texted my midwife and said, hey, just to let you know, like I'm having some contractions. They're super spaced out. They're not any type of like pattern to them yet, but just to let you know, this is going on. So I started just like going about my day as normal because I wanted to ignore them for as long as possible. My husband was like, let me just stay home. I'll take a vacation day. We can get stuff done if you don't go into labor and we'll just, you know, make a family day out of it. And I was like, okay, cool. So as we're going throughout our morning, I'm continually having contractions, but I'm like, do not time them because when I start focusing on it, like that's when I feel like I'm going to get in my head. So I'm like, please don't time them. I don't want to know. Let's ignore them. So my boys had haircuts scheduled at 9:30 that morning. I'm like, let's all go. We'll get their haircuts. Well, while we got to the haircut place, they went in and I was like, I'm just going to stay out here because I wasn't feeling like to the point that I felt like I could be social because the lady who cuts their hair is like a good friend of mine. I was like, I just don't feel like talking right now. So I stayed out in the car and things started really picking up. So I was like, let me just time them a little bit and see where it's at. So I started timing them and they were like 5 to 6 minutes apart. And I was like, okay. And they started intensifying. So I texted my husband and I was like, hey, can you start looking into like a place that we can go? Because we had saved a few Airbnbs and we had also saved some hotels that would be options because since we were delivering in Virginia, we didn't have any friends that lived in Virginia that we could use their house or anything. So we had to use either an Airbnb or a hotel. And we had never done that before because with my third, my grandparents lived in Virginia. So we were using their house for it. So it was kind of like uncharted territory. And I was nervous about that because, you know, you're going into someone else's space to deliver your baby. And it's like, it's a little bit nerve wracking because you don't know what to expect. Like you can't set up the area beforehand or really get to see it beforehand. So all the Airbnbs that we had saved, none of them were going to let us check in early. And this was in the morning time. And I was like, I don't think that's going to work. So he called one hotel and they didn't have any connecting rooms because we wanted to have two rooms because my three boys were going to be there with us for the delivery. And since I'm prone to long labors, I was like, let's get a room that way the midwife and birth assistant have somewhere to sleep because we're in it for the long haul, you know? So the first hotel didn't have anything. And then he called another hotel and they had the adjoining rooms and they said like, yeah, you guys can come and check in whenever. Like the rooms are ready right now. So he booked those. So I felt good about that because I was like, okay, we have a place to go now. Like I know where we're going. So
did you mention at all in booking this hotel? Did you tell them what was happening? You just kept it super low key. You're like, we're just coming early. We're going on vacation.
Yeah. He was just like, we just need to check in early if we can. And they were like, yeah, no big deal. Cause I was like, there's no laws that say you can't give birth in a hotel, but like, I also don't want to just like announce like, hey, I'm giving birth in your hotel.
Totally.
So yeah, that was the nerve wracking part of it too, because, you know, and I get like when we get to the part about us getting to the hotel, like I have some funny stories about that side of things, but it was a very interesting process because it's just like, you don't really know what to expect. I'm sitting in the car and things are like really picking up. So I text my husband and I was like, are they almost done with their haircuts? Because I really feel like I need to get where we're going so I can get into my zone and just like focus on laboring because it's getting really hard sitting here. So he's like, they have one more to go. So I'm like, all right, fine. Like I'm just sitting here and just having contractions. I did want to get out of the car. And so I'm just sitting there and like waiting. They finally come out and I'm like, we need to go. Like this, I know this is it because it's not stopping now. Like things are really starting to pick up. And he's like, okay. So we go to the house and we had to load all of my birth supplies and all of our stuff into the van to take up to Virginia. So I was so thankful at this point. I had made a whole checklist of like everything that needed to be loaded. We had put all the supplies into bins, like storage bins. That way they could be taken out easy. And then I had a list of everything else that couldn't fit in bins that needed to go. Like I was totally out of the, you know, I couldn't really think much because I was contracting like every 5 minutes at this point. So my husband and my boys are loading all the stuff in the van and we get that done and we start on the road. And I remember like every single bump felt like intensified the contractions so much. And we have two sets of railroad tracks that we had to cross. And my husband was the sweetest. He saw that I was about to have a contraction and he like pulled over off to the side of the road. That way I could have my contraction before we went over the railroad tracks. And I literally was like, thank you so much. Like that is an experienced husband right there. He knew. So that car ride was rough. Like labor in the car for me is not fun. And so I remember at one point I looked at the GPS and looked at how much time we had. And I think it was like 35 minutes. And I was counting like how many more contractions I had to get through until we got to the hotel. And that was like the way that it kept me going. So we got to the hotel. around like 1 p.m. And my husband went inside to check in and get the keys and everything. And he asked them like which door was closest to the elevators. Because I was so nervous about getting up to the room. I was like, how am I going to walk through this hotel and look like I'm not in active labor right now? Like, I don't know how to do that because my contractions are like every 4 minutes. And so I get out of the car and after they load everything and I'm like, okay, so we go walk up to the door and the door has a sign that says closed due to high winds. And I was just, I looked at my husband, like I probably had a look of terror on my face. So I'm like, what do we do? So we had to walk around the side of the building. So I'm literally like, I felt like I was running, trying to get to the elevator before I had a contraction because I was like, there's so many people in this hallway. They're going to look at me and be like, what is wrong with this girl? And I was obviously pregnant. Okay. Like there's, they could tell that I was pregnant. So I was like, we have to get up to the room. And I just felt so panicked just to get up there and like get in the space away from everybody. And of course we walked down the hallway and right across the room from where we were. The housekeeping ladies are in the hallway cleaning the room across the hall. And I was like, great. I love this. This is fantastic. So we get in the room and like, as soon as we got in there, I just got into my zone. I was like, I just need to focus. My husband and my boys started getting everything set up where it needed to be and started putting things away. I like things picked up so much. So I think I'm trying to remember. I think I went like, right away, I was like, I need to get in the shower because I was having like kind of those really strong wraparound contractions where they were starting my stomach, wrapping all the way around to my back. And I knew that the hot water on my back felt really good during my third labor. So I got in the shower for a while and just relaxed. And then I was like, okay, I want to get things moving along. So I went and sat on the toilet and that is where I felt a huge shift. And like, the contractions on the toilet felt terrible. Like it was so intense, but it worked so well. So I was like, this is worth it. I sat on there for like 5 contractions and each one of them, I was just like, ah, like wincing in pain. My husband's like, why don't you get up? And I was like, no, because I know that this is a good place to labor. So
that's so great.
Yeah. And it was amazing because I had never done that before. So
as a doula, I feel like people fight. They fight the, you're like, you did so well, lady. Like so many people fight that this made it intense. And so, and I'm one of them, like my doula tried to put me in sideline release and I was like, absolutely not. I hate this.
Yeah.
I actually asked for Pitocin when they suggested it again. I said, I'll take drugs instead of this because I hate this. But I think that that's such an important mindset for people to know is like the goal of labor is that it gets more intense. And there comes a point where you have to balance finding a way to cope with that intensity and finding a way to embrace it and be okay that like you're progressing. So bravo, bravo on the toilet.
Thank you.
Yes. Say yes to the intensity. Say yes. And you did.
Yeah. And so I was just like, okay, I want this to move forward. And my biggest issue in my previous labors was it stalling. And so that's what I was scared of. And I was like, if these contractions are going, like something is going right. So I was like, let's just keep doing it. So after that happened, things were like super intense. My contractions were like 2 to 3 minutes apart and I wanted to get into the bathtub because the warm water, it just sounded good to lay on my side and labor in the water. So I got in the tub, I laid on my side for a while and I started to feel super nauseous. And I was like, okay, like I had experienced that before. And I knew in my mind that that could be transition, but I was super skeptical because we were only, I don't know, like 6 hours, 7 hours in at this point. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way. So I ended up throwing up while I was in the bathtub. And I was like, okay, I need to get up. I need to like be mobile, let gravity help bring the baby down the rest of the way. So I got up, I was swaying. My husband was doing like pressure. He was doing like counter pressure, doing all that kind of good stuff to help me. And it was like, and then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I threw up a few more times. And I was like, I need to get back in the water. That was the one thing that gave me relief where I could like, I felt like I needed to just relax again and let my body do what it needed to do.
taking a quick break from our episode to share this important stat with you. Did you know a 2025 retrospective cohort study published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology found that doula care was associated with about a 15.6 increase in VBAC rates compared to those without doula support? Lily and I love doulas, and we are doulas. The VBAC Link was founded by doulas Julie Frankham and Megan Heaton, who created a comprehensive VBAC course for doulas. It's fully self-paced, completely virtual, and when you complete it, you're added to the VBAC Link doula directory. You'll also earn 8 ICEA continuing education hours and become a VBAC certified doula. And if you're a parent looking for a VBAC Link certified doula, you can find one at thevbaclink.com/findadoula. All right, let's get back to the episode.
So my husband and I were both super hesitant to call my midwife and tell her to come because of the experience that we had last time where she came and it was like too soon. So at this point, we were like, okay, let's wait. And I felt so much fear after I hit transition because everything was so intense. And I said, if I am going to go through this for as many hours as I have before, I can't do this. Like, and I kept telling my husband, like, I can't do this for this long. Like, I can't. Because mentally, I was expecting it to be another, like, 50-hour labor. Because my last two had been 50-plus hours. So around 3:15, the contractions had been consistently 2 to 3 minutes apart. So I said, why don't you tell Katie to come? And that's my midwife. Told her to come. Because I was like, okay, if she comes, I think we're getting somewhat close. Like, I figured I was probably at, like, a 6, maybe. And so I was like, she's an hour away. So she can have time to get here, and then hopefully it'll just be, you know, who knows, a few more hours. So I got into the bathtub again, and then it was around, right around 4 o'clock, I started feeling this huge, intense urge to push, and my body just took over, and I started having the fetal ejection reflex where it was like, my body was pushing all on its own, and I was like, okay. So immediately I looked at my husband and I said, you have to let the water out of the tub because there's not enough water in here for him to be born into. And I was like, I was still pretty proud of myself for that moment because I still was using my brain and like my smarts about what I know about birth. And I knew that that wasn't going to be good enough for like a water birth. If I was going to be in the bathtub, it was going to be without water at that point. So I was trying not to like push with it because I knew my midwife wasn't there yet. And I was like, a little bit just nervous. And I was shocked that this was happening. And I thought to myself, like, this is probably premature pushing. Like, it's probably just in my head or, you know, he's not actually ready to be born. Like, I don't know what this is. So the contractions, like, they started to feel like they were on top of each other. And I remember at one point, like, I felt so much intensity that I just leaned, like I was laying on my side and I just started like biting onto my hand because it was just something that gave like that, I don't even know what it was, but it helped me to just like release the intensity that I was feeling. So then my husband got me a washcloth and I started biting on that instead of my hand. That way I didn't like hurt myself. So when I started pushing, he called my midwife on the phone. And so she was kind of like talking him through like what he needed to do, what he needed to make sure he had ready in case I delivered before she got there. So she's telling us like minute by minute. She's like, okay, I'm this many minutes away. All right, I'm this many minutes away. So she was about, I think when he called her, she was about 15 minutes away. So she got there. She's literally telling me, she's like, okay, I'm parking my car. Okay, I'm getting my bags. I'm walking through the door. I'm on the elevator. Okay, I'm at your door. Like I'm here. And she's letting me know, like I'm walking in right now. So she came in right away into the bathroom where I was, and she was like checking on me. And she said, okay, I know you're not going to like this, but you need to get out of the tub. And I looked at her and I said, I can't move. And she was like, you can do it. Just like whenever you have a break in contractions, I need you to move to the bed. And I was adamant. I was like, I can't do that. I can't move right now. So I was like, okay. And I knew if she's telling me to do something, I need to do it. So I waited and I had a break in contractions. And when I tell you, I got out of that bathtub so fast and I ran to the bed and I jumped up on the bed and got on my hands and knees because I was like, if I don't get this done fast, this isn't happening. There's no other way for me to get there. So as soon as I got up onto the bed, another strong contraction hit. And like at this point, I was like, I wouldn't say I was like yelling, but I was groaning with every contraction, because that was just what was helping me to push what I, as I needed to. So once I got onto the bed, I was doing that, and my midwife was like listening for heart rate, because she hadn't gotten to do any of that because she just got there. So she got his heart rate for a second, and then she's like, she remembered I told her that during my pregnancy, I had seen a pelvic floor therapist, and she had done so much work with me. And she told me like, hey, the way that your pelvis is laying on your left side and pushing with someone supporting your leg up is going to be one of your best pushing positions. So I told my midwife that, and she said, hey, do you want to switch to that position and see if that will, you know, be better for you? And I was like, yes. So I moved to that position, and it was like almost immediately, I felt so much pressure, and I literally looked at my midwife and I said, I feel like my backside is about to rip open. And she said, I promise it's not. Everything is fine. Because I was sure that I was tearing. And with my third, I tore so bad that they were stitching me for an hour and a half. So I was like super nervous about tearing. And so I felt that, and I was like, I literally feel like I'm ripping open right now. Well, I felt such a strong contraction. And with that one, I pushed as hard as I can. And I felt, it felt like a ball roll from like the back of my pelvis all the way to the front. And as soon as I felt that, I felt like the ring of fire right away too. And his head came out, and it was like immediately so much relief. And I was just like, ah, I felt like I could breathe again. And like the breaks that happen in between the contractions from that point, it's just like such a relief, because it was before, it felt like they were like right on top of each other. Well, once his head was out, it was like I had a little bit of a break before my next contraction came and where I had to push. So we had, let's see, after that, his head hadn't come out like all the way. So she told me, she's like, I need you to give me a little push so that we can get his head out the rest of the way. So I did. We got his head out, and then we waited for the next contraction, and it was like three more pushes and he was out. Now, the cool surprise out of all of this, he was born in Cull. I hadn't even thought about the fact that my water hadn't broken.
No way.
Yes.
I love that you surprised us with that.
My gosh.
Yes. So like super cool. Like I honestly hadn't even thought about the fact that like, oh, my water didn't break. And my midwife I didn't get to see it like until I saw the video, because she had to break it pretty quickly because there was a little bit of meconium.
We have to see that video.
Yes. So there was a little bit of meconium in it. So she broke it really quickly to get it off of him. So I didn't get to see it, but like the funniest joke in our family. So like all my three older boys were there. So they were 9, 7, and 5 at this time. And so the funniest joke that they have with my husband is they call our baby Mr. Biscuits, because they said as he was coming out, he looked like a can of biscuits that was busted open because his face looked like shrink wrapped. My husband said, out of all things that I had to share his nickname and why he has that nickname. And I was like, okay, I will.
I will never look at a can of biscuits the same way now.
It was funny because he explained it as if like his face was like shrink wrapped, because the sack was like, as he was coming out, it was just all pushed like straight on his face. But like, I thought that was so cool that that happened, because I've seen those. Like, I've seen videos of those. I watched tons of birth videos, but I never thought like it would happen to me. And so that was like a super cool experience. But I think like it was just so amazing. I literally looked like when she brought him up to me, he started crying right away, which was super relieving. And I looked at my husband and I just started crying. And I said, I did it. We had a successful home hotel birth. And it's so funny because it was just like, and then he looked at me and he said, and it's still daytime on the same day you went into labor. Because it was, I guess I forgot to say this, it was 4:49 when he was born. So.
Okay, I take it back. Started, you've given me hope again.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was saying. I was like, oh, just wait. So amazing, because I would say active labor really started around like 9:30-ish. And by 4:50, he was there. And it was like a shock. Like, there was part of me that was totally in shock that that happened, because I was like, I can have a short labor. Like, I'm not doomed to only have these marathon labors.
And text it was my midwife just like, after this and be like, I have an inspiring story to tell you.
Yes. Because honestly, like after having two long labors, I was totally prepared for another very long labor. And like, was I totally mentally prepared? No, because I was honestly still scared of it because I was like, I can't go through this long of a labor again. But it was like such a nice relief when it wasn't that long of a labor. And it felt like the perfect amount of time because I feel like everything had like a good amount of time to like slowly ramp up and increase in intensity and get where it needed to be. And then my midwife and her assistant, they stayed for a couple hours, got everything cleaned up, did our vital checks, made sure everything was taken care of and that we were all good. And they were gone before 7 p.m. And then it was just us. And I looked at my husband and I was like, this is what we've tried for years. And here we are, like we have it. And our other three boys were with us. They got to hold the baby immediately. And it was just like, I just couldn't believe. I was like, is this my life? Like, is this really happening to me? Because I had just felt like every other experience that I had had, something crazy had happened. And I thought for sure I was going to end up transferring in the hospital again and that it was going to be, you know, like I thought my body was just broken and that there was something wrong with me. And honestly, like people ask me, like, what do you think made the biggest difference in this labor? And I will 100% say, like, I think pelvic floor therapy during pregnancy was a game changer. Like, I had never done that before. I had done chiropractic care, and I think chiropractic care is hugely beneficial. I had chiropractic care during this pregnancy as well. But I think, like, it just having someone be able to look at the inner workings of the pelvic floor and the pelvis and to work out, like, I had a lot of built up muscle tissue or scar tissue and things like that that was there. For her to then say, like, hey, this is the best for your pelvis, the best way that you could try to deliver. And just having that support and that knowledge as well was super helpful. And it just felt like I had more tools in my pocket than I even thought. Like, I thought I had all the tools in my pocket for my other births. And then it's like, oh, here's this new one. And I felt like it just made a world of difference. So that night, it was just like this bliss of just our family being together. There was nobody coming in, knocking on the door every, you know, hour trying to get vitals. There was no, it was my midwife just texting me and saying like, hey, how are you guys doing? And being able to respond to her and just say, everybody's doing great. Like, we're going to bed now, and waking up and my whole family was together, like immediately. Like, that was just, it was so amazing. And I asked my boys afterwards, I was like, did you guys like being there? Because we gave them the option. We were like, if you guys want to come, you can, or they could have stayed with my parents. Like, that was up to them. And we even told them, like, during the birth, we had that other room. Like, if you guys get scared at any point, you can go over in that other room and just, you know, take some time. They had brought their toys. They had stuff to watch. They had all that kind of stuff. But they all wanted to be in there, and they all got to see their baby brother be born, which I think that was so cool. Because what I think is awesome is, like, I'm now getting to raise these boys who I'm hoping I can prepare well to be good support partners for their wives when they have kids. And like, they'll be so well versed in birth and know what to expect. So it won't be scary for them. You know, like, they can support their wives and feel confident that like birth can happen in a way that's not scary and in a way that, you know, that our bodies can happen. And they know their stories. Like, I told them both their birth stories about me having C-sections. So they know, like, I've had surgery to have two babies, and now I have not had surgery to have two babies. So we're tied here. So it was just like, honestly, like everything that I ever dreamed of. And I still to this day, like when I talk about it, I'm like, did that really happen to me? Like, it still feels like it was a dream. Like, okay, this is real life. Like, I'm looking at this baby who we had in a hotel. And we drive by that hotel every once in a while and we'll be like, oh, Caleb, that's where you were born. We joked and said that for his first birthday, we should see if we can get the same room and stay there on his birthday, stay at the hotel that night.
That's so fun. Were there questions from, like, I mean, as a doula, I feel like birth can be quiet, can be loud, but nobody had any thoughts. Nothing.
Nobody said anything. Okay. Nope.
They're like, you came in with three and you're leaving with another human.
Yeah. And a car seat that you can tell is absolutely a newborn. Yep. Nope. Nobody asked anything.
I wonder if those cleaning ladies were like, what is happening there? I don't know.
Did you really go?
We had four storage bins. Like, that's abnormal, right? Like, people don't bring storage bins in the hotel room. But I was like, there's no other way of bringing all of our stuff in there. So
it was either a birth or a crime scene. One of the two.
Exactly. And the funniest part was we had to take out all the trash bags that had all the stuff in it too. And so I'm sure people were like, what happened in there? Like, I don't even know.
If you try to go back for your baby's birthday, they might just tell you that you can't stay there. They're like, oh no, we know you. Like, we know you.
We know you.
Surprise, I have a band plaque on that says, like, banned from this hotel for
this lady, not allowed.
No, but I just think, I love that I now have this story because there are a lot of women who are in similar circumstances where they have to find somewhere to give birth because their state doesn't support women's choices. And so I think that, like, I hope that my story can encourage people that you don't have to give up just because your state says no. You know, like, if you're willing to make the sacrifices and you're willing to drive 2 hours each way to your appointments and be willing to wait till the last minute when you're in labor to find a spot to give birth, like, you can do it and it can totally work out.
So with your midwife being in such close proximity to Maryland, being in Virginia, has she had clients that have done this before? Did she have any, like, sage advice for you? No. Okay. Wow.
Nope. So she had a client that delivered in an Airbnb, but they had rented it for like the whole month. And I was just like, I don't want to spend $3,000 and rent it for a month when I really only need it for like 2 days. So this was her first hotel birth ever. So it was like a first experience for her too.
That's amazing. I have a friend who, they did the like 3 week Airbnb thing. They live up in Vail. And so she came down to Denver and had her baby. But wow.
That's awesome.
I just like, I can't even fathom what you must have been feeling to like navigate. Like, okay, and we need adjoining rooms and we need, you know, all these things. And like, and what if, you know, I don't know. You really can relate to the birth of Jesus when they're like, there's no room at the inn. Yeah. The Airbnbs are booked.
Yes, that's what I actually joked about that because I was like, I feel like we're not welcome anywhere to give birth. So we're just going to go and knock on doors until one opens. But I know that like it was the perfect place. It was exactly where we were supposed to be. And, you know, it all worked out just how it was supposed to. And that was what we had prayed for the whole pregnancy. It was just like that. All of it would just come together like this crazy puzzle that no one would imagine ever having to put together. But it worked and it did all come together. And, you know, and it's been awesome because like my midwife has become one of our closest friends. Like she and I talk all the time still and she's so supportive. And, you know, we hope to have more kids in the future. And actually now there is a local midwife who will do home births in our area, which is super awesome, even for moms. If you've had a successful VBA2C, she will do a home birth with you. But
and that's really common law wise of like VBA2C being quote unquote banned. But then once you've had a successful vaginal delivery in your history, sometimes that changes it. So women of strength do know that navigating that can look different too. So once you've had, you know, a hospital birth, you're not tied to, I always have to have a hospital birth necessarily. Maybe it looks like crossing state lines, or maybe it looks like that's how it is in Colorado for us too, that if you want a VBA2C in order to be attended by a birth center or out of hospital birth, a hotel birth, you have to have had a successful vaginal delivery in your history prior. So it can be your second VBA2C, which is really cool. I don't quite understand why, but like at least it makes it accessible at some point.
Exactly. Our local hospital is more, they're starting to be more open-minded towards even vaginal birth after 2 and 3 cesarean, even at the hospital, which I think is awesome. Like, I don't love hospital birth, so it wouldn't necessarily be something that I would choose, but I love that it's an option for women who do want to have a hospital birth and still not be, you know, put into the box of like, you have once a C-section, always a C-section, or once you've had 2 C-sections, a C-section.
I wanted to circle back to your pelvic floor therapy, because you talked a little bit about your scar stuff that she said you had. What specifically did she do to help your scar mobilization?
So she did, we had appointments from 32 weeks all the way once a week from 32 weeks until I was 37 weeks. And she would do internal work where she would actually like manually break down the scar tissue. And then she also did external work of the pelvis. So like what was crazy is I could feel a huge difference in like after I started having that, because I also had SPD, like I can't remember what it all stands for, but where I could barely walk for a few weeks during my pregnancy because of how bad things were. And combined with the chiropractic care and the pelvic floor therapy, by 36 weeks, I was able to walk and function as normal with no pain. And that was just incredible, because before that, it was horrible. But she, yeah, like she was every week checking for any new buildup of scar tissue, like anything that was tightening up again, she was manually releasing those, which I didn't know anything about. I was like, the first appointment, she's like, hey, so we're going to do some manual release. This is what that looks like. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know that was a thing. But the difference that I felt, and then just with the sheer difference of my labors and how my baby was able to descend through my pelvis this pregnancy versus my last delivery, was incredible. And so like every single person that I talk to now, I'm like, if they're pregnant, are you going to see a pelvic floor therapist during your pregnancy? Because you should, because it just made such a huge difference. And I think that it's something that needs to be talked about more, because I didn't know anything about it up until this pregnancy. And I think that like, I'm like, I want to advocate for it to be covered by insurance. I want to advocate for, you know, all moms to have access to it, because it's such a huge benefit. And I feel like it can be such a game changer for women.
And I love with pelvic floor PT that it looks different for everybody, you know? So if you don't have, you know, scar tissue, they may be working on different things. And I think so much in the world of pelvic floor, whatever, we're taught that like, we all have to be strengthening our pelvic floor for birth. And the reality is that actually for many of us, we can have like hyperactive or overly tight pelvic floor, that like doing Kegels is counterproductive to being something helpful, because at the end of the day, like your pelvic floor doesn't push a baby out. Your uterus pushes the baby out, and your pelvic floor needs to learn how to get out of the way.
Yep.
And that is so, it's, yeah. And I love how like nuanced and how like specific it is for each person, and they can access muscles and just in different ways. I will say I've been to pelvic floor PT and she did some internal work, and they can do internal work vaginally, but they can also do internal work through your rectum. So that was something I was not prepared for, but it actually did make a really big difference, as crazy as it sounds, but we're all girls here, so we can talk about it.
Well, and I do want to say too, something to note with pelvic floor therapy, chiropractic, as we talk about, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to look at multiple providers, because I've been to pelvic floor therapy and they didn't touch my scar. And now looking back, and I didn't know, I was like, oh, go to pelvic floor therapist. That's what you do. But like, ask them some questions, ask what they do for C-section moms, ask them, like, I love that she looked at the shape of your pelvis and was like, hey, this is your optimal pushing position. Ask if they do that kind of assessment. Ask if they do rectum internal work. Ask if they, you know, like, what kind of scar releases do they do? Is it just massage? Is it internal as well? Is it dry needling? There are a lot of techniques that not all pelvic floor therapists use.
Yeah. And it was super awesome, because she was also a VBAC mom. So she was like so supportive of my whole journey. And I just thought that that was so exciting. And she was new to our area, had just moved into the area. And she was like, she had put out a thing saying like, hey, I'm new from Baltimore. and I'm looking for some people to take on as clients who are pregnant moms. And I was like, I've never done this before. Let's go for it. And I was able to like help her get connected in with the community and with my local chiropractor and all that kind of stuff. So it was just so, it's so cool seeing the birth community growing in my area. Whereas like a few years back, like even 5 years ago, it was super small and it was really hard to find providers that would do those things in our area. So I just think that it speaks to what things even like this podcast are doing in educating people and helping people to ask those questions for themselves and seek out providers and increasing the demand for people who truly care about you during your pregnancy.
Yeah, I love that because it is a demand, and it's like it's a demand as in like supply and demand, but it's a demand as in like we demand that like we are deserving of care and we are deserving of individualism and we are deserving of being seen as a whole person and not as a number and not as an everyday and as someone experiencing something that is truly once in a lifetime, I think. And we're seeing it. And it's so amazing. So bravo, friend. And good for you for like helping with some of those connections. Like that is so, so special.
Good. Yeah. I don't know if you saw my face, but I was in full tears sobbing when you were telling your story. Like, not only can I relate as a boy mom, my boys are 9, 7, and 5 right now also. And then I have a baby boy who's 15 months. So I could just visualize my boys there and how special that is. And when you talked about teaching boys to love birth and embrace birth and see birth in different forms, I was just like, that's what I'm trying to do too. And girl, I just like, I connect. I was so touched, so deeply touched. Thank you for sharing your story. Like, just congratulations.
Thank you. And seriously, thank you guys so much for all the work that you do. And I love getting to see all the education and, you know, just keeping it fun too, keeping it engaging. And I'm super excited for what the future has with the Feedback Link with you guys doing the podcast.
That was so kind.
Thank you.
All right, friend. Well, thank you so, so much for being on today.
Of course.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and for being a part of our community. One of my favorite parts of the VBAC Link is the community itself. When I was pregnant and planning for a VBA 2C, the VBAC Link community group on Facebook truly became a virtual village for me. It's where I could see real VBAC stories, ask questions without judgment, and get encouragement from people who genuinely understood what I was preparing for. If you are planning a VBAC and want support as you get ready, head over to Facebook and search the VBAC Link community, because women of strength become even stronger together.